Good evening, Oscar and Alan Taylor. Welcome aboard. And you're the first two on tonight. We're a little early. We start at 6 o'clock. So you guys are you're ahead of the curve. So we're going to just go over to the back office that talks you here real quickly and unmute our other people's mics. Or at least that's the plan. So bear with us just for momentarily. We'll be right with you. Glad you could join us tonight. Okay, it looks like Brother Carl and Brother Mark are already with us. I've unmuted both Brother Carl and Brother Mark's mics. How are you guys doing this evening?
Good, very good.
Doing well.
Good. Well, I think it'll be an interesting program tonight. Brother Ed should be joining us here momentarily. There's a lot of different ideas about our topic tonight and how to respond. Looks like Brother Ed has just joined us. Let me get him on board here. Good morning. Good evening, Brother Ed. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Thank you.
Good. Well, we're all aboard. I guess we're all raring, you know, ready to go. We've got a number of people that have joined us on Facebook already. So we're already recording, so we might as well go ahead and get in the topic. I'd like to, before we jump in board, I think I've shared this on Sermon Audio on Facebook before. I'd like to just share a little story. I think I might have shared this with Brother Ed once before. I was invited to join a group of pastors. I don't call myself a pastor, but I was invited in to join a group of pastors at another pastor's home. And so, of course, these people had not met me before. I'm sure they all knew that I had a background in social work, okay, because I think it was a test. I think because it was primarily very conservative people. Now, when I say very conservative, when I throw around terms like that, I have to qualify what I'm saying. I would say most of those people were Republicans, okay? They were not Democrat. Now, just to clear the air, I am neither either, okay? I don't claim to be a Democrat or Republican. I haven't voted for years and years and years because I believe that, unlike a lot of people, I don't subscribe to the philosophy that it's better to vote for the lesser of the two evils. So that's really aside the point of what we're talking about tonight. But anyway, as I entered this pastor's home, all of a sudden, all of the pastors had a topic they all decided they were going to discuss. Now, I think it was pre-planned out. I think it was a test to see what my response would be. And the response they got from me was not what they were wanting, okay? Because they began to talk about all of the homeless people out there that were frauds on the street, how many times they've been taken advantage of, all the drugs in our society, all the scams of people trying to get money out of different churches. And I listened to this for about 20 minutes. And I was appalled. I was absolutely appalled. You know, and here's my thoughts on this, you know. And I'll share one other, and then I'll shut up and turn it over to Brother Ed and whoever else wants to comment. Brother Carl, Brother Mark. I was sitting in a church and a Bible study, and a homeless person came into the church parking lot, and obviously he was very disheveled, and he was looking for assistance. And it really bothered my wife, and so she told me, she said, "Hey, you know, I think somebody from this church ought to go out and see if they can minister to this person." And I said, "Well, that's really not my responsibility in church leadership, but see, looking back on it, it was my responsibility, but I'm not, I recognize now it doesn't matter what church leadership does. We are all prophets, priests, and kings unto God."
Amen.
Well, my wife approached the pastor and said, "There's a homeless person outside." He goes, "I would get them all the time. Just let it go. Just let it go." Now, I've said what I've said. Now, I just want to make one statement. Now, people say, "You're just a bleeding heart liberal," and all this stuff. I've been accused of far worse than that, which is fine. But I will say this, having worked in social work for a number of years, before I worked for the state of Missouri, I worked for the state of Kansas, and I could write a book on all of my experiences working with homeless, working with drug addicts, working with abusers, working with abused, working with victims, and all of that. But here's my statement. You know, there are genuinely very needy people in the world that are not on drugs, that are not prostituting, that are not fornicating their brains out, that are genuinely homeless for a lot of other reasons in our society, okay? And for anyone to overgeneralize and say, "Well, I'll set the conditions as to how I give or whatever," I'm not against discernment, but I will say this. You know, a lot of people use this as a scapegoat so they don't have to get involved, just like the what happened when the two priests passed the Samaritan on the other side of the road. So I'm going to shut up. I've said my piece. I know there's a lot of drug heads. Believe me, I've been involved in that, taking people and you know, I've been scammed myself, but the point is that I would say my experience has taught me that at least 60% of the people that are on the street, 60% of the people on the street that I've met are genuinely have been cast off for other reasons other than just being on drugs. So that's kind of my thing. So I'm going to turn it over to Ed. Ed, and you can kind of give your scriptures and your foundational thoughts, and we'll have a good discussion on this matter.
Okay. Yeah. I'm actually looking for guidance on this because I quite frankly am not sure what the answer is. So here's the issue. That is, somebody comes up to you, okay, and asks you basically money. I think scripture is clear, okay, and I read in Matthew chapter 5, verse 42, okay. 40 says, "Give him, asketh thee, and from of the
you're
turn break, not
breaking
that way."
You're breaking up. I don't know if it's on this end, but can you guys hear Brother Ed?
He's breaking up. Yes.
Yeah,
he's breaking up.
Okay.
Yeah, about every three words is all we're hearing.
Right.
That's a problem. Well, I don't know quite what to do. Let me move my phone and see if that helps. Hold on. Let me see what my phone is set at. I'm going to talk if I'm alone. See, direct call.
Yeah, we're not getting you.
Yeah, not coming through.
No,
might have to call back in.
You hear me now?
Yeah, talk for a little bit.
Hello, can you hear me now?
Yeah, I heard. Can you hear me now? I heard that.
Okay. Yeah. All right. That will work because now I'm talking without using the Wi-Fi. I think maybe the Wi-Fi might be the problem, but I'm not sure. You hear me now?
Yeah, you're coming through. You're coming through a little better, but it's still kind of garbled. Yeah, we're getting a really poor connection.
All right,
bad connection.
Yeah.
Okay, while he's calling back in, Brother Mark, do you want to weigh in on this, your initial thoughts?
Okay, sure. I agree that we need to use discernment in this situation. Let's see. When I first came to Long Beach in 1984, I didn't know the situation in Long Beach, and so in my early years in this city, I got taken advantage of quite a bit, and it took me a number of years to wise up that there is, I don't know if it's 60%, but I would say half and half or 60-40. And so there's rarely have I come across a genuine case, but there's, I don't know, maybe Long Beach is different than other places, but I used to, in my early years, I used to get asked for money a lot on the streets, and it used to upset me because I think I was thinking that people were just trying to take advantage of me, and sometimes I was right. But as the years went by, I became more aware of the situation in Long Beach here, and I learned that there is a population of people that are on the streets year round, and that they have been offered help and they don't take it for whatever reason. So I agree that we need to use spiritual discernment in this situation. Currently, you know, like I said, I used to give people money all the time, and I used to get taken advantage of a lot. Now I'm very selective about who I give money to. Actually, my feeling is this, that I won't give the money. If somebody comes up to me asking for money, I will say to them, you know, I understand your situation. I'm not going to give you money, but I'll buy you a hamburger, fries, and Coke, but I'm not going to give. And then if they turn that down, then I know that they want it for something else, which was, like you mentioned, drugs or alcohol. So my feeling is that if somebody comes up to me and asks me for money, I'll sit there, you know, and try to figure it out for a minute, and I'll say, you know, I'm not going to give you money, but I'll buy you a hamburger, fries, and a Coke. And so based on that reaction, I'll you know, go forward or not. So that's my thoughts on the situation at the moment. Thank you, Brother Ed.
Yeah. Brother Ed, are you back with us? I guess he hasn't come back yet. Well, let me just make sure that his mic's unmuted. Hold on a second. Yeah, I need to unmute his mic again.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, Brother Ed, you back with us
now?
Yeah,
can you hear me?
Oh, yeah, that's much better.
Okay.
Yeah, that's totally right. Better. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, why don't you jump in where you left off?
Yeah, here's the dilemma that I face sometimes, and I've discussed this with other people who. But let's just lay out the issue. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 42, it says, "Give to him that asketh thee." Okay, now that's pretty clear. "And from him yes. that would borrow of thee, turn not thou away." Okay,
right.
I got it. So somebody asks you for something, give it to them. If they want to borrow from you, turn not them away. Okay, and that comes on the heels of a discussion of somebody sues you in the law. But the point is, it stands alone. Okay. So, and I was looking through. Well, actually, I was listening to Scorby on audio Bible, and
Alexander
came to Ezekiel chapter 16, verses 49 to 50, and it says this. It says, "Behold, this was the iniquity of thy sister Sodom: pride, fullness of bread, and abundance of idleness was in her and in her daughters." Now, this is the interesting part. It says, "Neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and needy." Okay? And then it says, "And they were haughty and committed abomination before me. Therefore, I took them away as I saw good." Now, the important passage here, I think, is neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and needy, which suggests to me that the great sin of Sodom, part and parcel of their great sin, was that they were full of idleness, pride, and they had abundance of idleness and abundance of riches, but they didn't strengthen the hand of the poor and needy. That is, they did not allow or give them the ability to also thrive. Now, that's quite different from giving a handout, I think. And so I'm trying to think, where are we supposed to use discernment as to where we help somebody? Because I know other Christians who they have businesses, and they give jobs, okay, to people to try to help them. Now, I also know that they've been burned a lot, okay? And some of these people just do not, they do not want that kind of help. They don't really want to work for their daily bread. They want, and they will use a handout for drugs and for their vice. So on the one hand, you don't want to be an accomplice to their sin by giving them the ability to buy more drugs, to buy more wine. But at the same time, we have a command here, give to an athlete, and at the time, you don't know what they're going to do. And I know of cases where, in one case, this woman admitted to me that she spent money on gambling. I remember one time I went and bought her breakfast. Every morning I would walk into work, and as you walk by, she would mumble under her breath, "Got a quarter?" And so I said, "Well, explain your situation." She said, and I ordered her whatever she was across the street. And I paid for it, and I left. And then later on that evening, when I was leaving work, she was still there, and I asked her, I said, "How was breakfast?" And she said, "Oh, I took it back. I didn't like the eggs." I said, "What do you use the money for?" So, she that really that's what she was doing. And there are a lot of people like that. If that's something that's out of my hands that I should leave to God, what? Is that something I should decide then?
Right.
I don't know.
Well, I just think that my own experience, like I said, maybe my experience is different than others, but my experience is that when this subject comes up, almost 9 times out of 10, it's always calling out the drug heads and the people that misuse money, and not actually talking about the poor, the fatherless, and the widows. And those people are, you know, I talked to someone in my family, and she goes, "Where are the poor anyway? I can't find them." Well, all I can say is, for anyone that would make a statement like that, you are totally out of touch with our world. I can take you any day of the week in any major city, and yep. I can show you people who are honestly needy and could use a hand up. Job 22:9 says, "Thou hast sent widows away empty, and the arms of the fatherless have been broken." Job 22:9. Yes. We have many scriptures that rebuke us for having a haughty attitude about the poor, and that's what I've seen in the churches. You know, they have their motorhomes, they have their boats, they pay $200 to go to a Chiefs game. They spend $300 on a fishing rod, and they're worried about giving somebody $25 that needs a hand up. Something's wrong with that picture.
Yes.
Psalm 68:5 says, "A father of the fatherless and a judge of the widows is God in his holy habitation." That's what it says. A father of the fatherless and a judge of the widows is God in his holy habitation. And so, you know, what, even within the church, even, remember, the widows were even being neglected in the church, and they had to deal with that, you know, because in their daily ministration, they were passed over, okay? And mm-hmm. Christ says to the Pharisees and hypocrites in Matthew 23:14, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayer, therefore you shall receive the greater damnation."
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
So anyway, I don't know. Jesus Christ was very, very much sensitive to widows and those who were in need. And he talks about it often in his ministry, about the widows and the fatherless and those who, for a pretense, try to show that they're doing great things. And so anyway, I'm kind of incensed or enraged at this idea, you know. Who are you going to compare yourself with? Okay. In other words, you're saying, well, you know, this is one of the things I wanted to tell the ministers. I didn't. I wish I had of. But I would have stood up and I would have said, you know what? Every one of you guys, I know everyone here is making over $50,000 a year. And you're concerned about somebody screwing you out of $100? I mean, what? I thought you're supposed to be ministering to these people. Now, you know,
yeah.
I'm going to tell you this. I don't care if a person is habitually on the street. Have you ever tried living on the street? You know, if you have ever been homeless or close to homeless, I say to people that are so critical of people, even if they are immersed in some addictions and so on, try living on the street and maybe you'll be addicted. I mean, you say, yeah, Larry, you're putting the cart before the horse. The reason they're on the street is because of their addiction. I'm saying that we are supposed to minister to those that are in need, and we're supposed to give a cup of water. And we are supposed, you know, James 1:27, "Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction." Okay, that's what we're told to do. Now, I will tell you, and I'm not tooting my own horn. I hope you don't take this wrong. But if I see somebody on the street with a sign saying homeless and children in need of food, okay? Am I just going to just say, well, that guy's probably just an old druggie, just keep going on by? Okay, no, I will not do that. And I will tell you this, my habit has been anytime I give money, that's not all they get. They always get a Bible. And by the way, you can tell a lot by a person when you hand them a brand new Bible with whatever money you're giving them as to how they receive the Bible. And I'll tell you, you say, well, Larry, you're just easily scammed. Maybe so. But you know what? $100 is not going to cause me to go hungry. And that $100 or whatever that I give them might just be a catalyst. God, through His Holy Spirit, might just use that as a catalyst for them to open up the Bible and read it. Now, I've taken too much of my time, but I will, if I'm going to err, I'm going to err on the side of trying to address those who are on the street and minister to them.
Right. And, you know, we're not told to ask what the money's for, you know. We're just told to be generous. It's something that's this subject here is, you know, special to me because, you know, I actually was homeless and drug addicted. And, you know, I used to be a junkie and there was a period of time in my life where I was homeless. I'm not proud of it, you know, but I try to use it as a testimony for Jesus Christ. You know, after He saved me, you know, that's just what I've tried to do. And I'd like to read Psalm 82, a portion of it. And I think we get a good picture here of what we're supposed to be doing. And it says in Psalm 82, in the Authorized King James Version only, verse 1, it says, God standeth in the congregation of the mighty. He judgeth among the gods. How long will ye judge unjustly and accept the persons of the wicked? Defend the poor and fatherless. Do justice to the afflicted and needy. Deliver the poor and needy. Rid them out of the hand of the wicked. They know not, neither will they understand. They walk on in darkness. All the foundations of the earth are out of course. I have said ye are gods, and all of you are children of the Most High. But ye shall die like men, and fall like one of the princes. Arise, O God, and judge the earth, for thou shalt inherit all the nations. And, you know, the best thing that we can do, like Brother Larry, you know, and that's really such an awesome thing, Brother Larry, that you do with people that you come across, hand them a Bible, and, you know, with a little bit of money that you give them, you know, that is so awesome. And that's what we're supposed to do. You know, we're supposed to preach the gospel because that's what, you know, as believers, you know, the poor and needy and the afflicted, they should have a special place in our heart because spiritually that's what we used to be. You know, we should look at that and apply that to how we used to be spiritually and have a whole new appreciation for it. And even some of us, like myself, who's actually been homeless and on dope, you know, and on drugs, you know, even more so. So I'll pass it on to Brother Ed or Brother Mark. I just felt like saying that.
No, I'm finding this edifying because I'm often faced with, from time to time, people say, well, why would you give money to them? They're just going to use it for drugs. And so, you know, I'm looking for guidance on this issue.
Right. Well, you know, bro.
Because the argument they're making is you're just helping them sin. See?
Right.
Yeah, well, I think I would like to weigh in on that for a minute. You know, I don't believe that giving a person $100 or $200 or whatever is going to help them sin any more than they're already sinning. Psalms 82:3 says,
"Amen."
Bend the Psalms 82:3 says, defend the poor and the fatherless. Do justice to the afflicted and needy. I mean, and by the way, my experience with people that are in some kind of addiction, okay, if you want to get their attention, you show them unconditional love just like Jesus Christ showed us. You don't start going there and trying to play police and say, by the way, I'll give you this, but don't go using this on drugs and alcohol. And if I find out that you did, never get another dime out of me. You might as well not even give them any money if that's the way you're going to approach these people. Okay?
Well, you know,
Yeah, you approach these people as if you are in the same state as they're in. Okay? In other words, it's just like Brother Carl said, you know, anybody on this call tonight, when Christ showed his mercy to us, how many of us did Christ come to and say, hey, I know what you've done. I know you've committed adultery. I know you've been a drunkard. I know that you've been involved in drugs. And I'll tell you what, I'll show you some love, but you have to promise me you'll never do any of these things ever again. Come on. You know, there is a spirit, the Holy Spirit can guide us into how to show unconditional love to these down and out people that are on the streets, you know? And you know, I'm just trying to tell you what the response that I've gotten in Arkansas and Missouri, you know, there's probably on a weekly basis, you know, I deal with probably 5 or 6 street people a week that I've never met. And you know what? They usually are so grateful. And usually they start weeping, and they usually tell me, please pray for me. And they usually say, I am praying that God will bless you for stopping today and showing your kindness to me. Now, you know what? You say, Larry, you're an easy take. They all say that. You know that, you know what? I don't get people in the church giving me that kind of response. Okay? I get people in the church telling me that, you know, your doctrine isn't quite right. We're going to have a meeting with you and decide whether you stay in the church or not, okay? And so, you know, this is a kind of a touchy, you could probably see this, is kind of, touchy with this. I see that these people are afflicted. I see that they are in need. These are the kind of people that Jesus Christ reach out to. The poor, the diseased, the sick. And the churches are not touching these people's lives. They're, just like I said, this minister just went on with his Bible study, and this guy was out in the parking lot hurting.
Right. Amen. Yes. You know, Christ came, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, he came to save sinners. That's who he came to save. All right.
Amen.
Murderers and thieves and drunkards and junkies like me and prostitutes and tax, you know, and publicans. All right. I mean, that's who he came to save. And what kind of representation of our Lord and Savior are we? You know, what kind of representative on the behalf of our King are we? If we treat those that are in need and are afflicted horribly. I mean, First Samuel chapter 2, verses 6 through 10, or verses 6 through 8. The Lord killeth and maketh alive. He bringeth down to the grave and bringeth up. The Lord maketh poor and maketh rich. He bringeth low and lifteth up. He raiseth up the poor out of the dust and lifteth up the beggar from the dunghill to set them among princes and to make them inherit the throne of glory. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and he has set the world upon them. You know, I mean, that's who he came to save, you know. And he says the last shall be first and the first shall be last. And I know that that is referencing the Jews and the Gentiles there, but it's also a picture of the, you know, he takes the foolish things of the world and confounds the wise with them. And that's what that's talking about. You know, I mean, he takes the poor and lifts them up from the dunghill. I mean, this is who he came to save. I mean, our Lord and Savior, he receiveth sinners. I mean, it's just astounding to me how many people, so-called Christians, are just void of any compassion at all. It's just so disgusting.
Yes. What was that scripture again, Brother Carl?
1 Samuel chapter 2, verses 6 through 8 is a portion of Hannah's prayer. And Brother Ed, yes, sir, it sure is good to have you on board tonight and be with you guys in fellowship. And yes, sir, I'm finding this edifying as well, and hopefully, you know, all four of us can as well.
I don't think we should be so open-minded our brains fall out. Don't get me wrong. I mean, I've heard people say, well, Larry, you're just naive. No, I'm not naive. I've been in social work for years, so I'm not naive. But I do know this, that, you know, I was bound in, like Brother Carl said, I was bound in the chains of sin and despair for years myself. I wasn't homeless, but I was without God and without Christ, and I was dead in my trespasses and sin. And if someone is crying out for help and they're, you know, you can tell if somebody's hungry. That's not really hard to discern. You say, well, the reason they're hungry is because they spend all their money on heroin or cocaine or whatever. You know, I'll tell you,
yeah.
I really believe that if Christ were down here, he would not be spending all of his time in a, we have a church down here, a Baptist church. They're adding on. They just spent another $1.2 million in adding on to their sanctuary so that they could replace the pews with padded pews and put in better colored carpeting and have room for their choir. Look, I can't buy into it. You know, when I go by all of these big churches that are spending millions of dollars on their baptismal font, and you say, well, that's what they said, you know, the lady that spent all the money on Christ for the perfume, and he said, the poor you always have with you. They love to use that scripture to back up their insensitivity to the poor. That was taken totally out of context. Christ there was saying that she realized that he had met her at the point of her need and forgiven her of all of her sin, and she was showering him with her love and affection in response to his providing for her need.
Yes.
That's
Amen.
What that was about. And so people use that all the time. They say, well, the poor you always have with you. Well, you know what? Anyway, I kind of get going on this, but I would recommend that you guys, if you want to really get your boat loaded, just go to your Bible search engine and just put in the poor, the fatherless, and the widow, and just read through all the scriptures where God is defending the poor and the fatherless and the widow and the needy. And then tell me that, you know, you're concerned that somebody's scamming you.
Yes, sir. And you know, in Acts chapter 3, and I'm going to read start with verse 1 here and read down through verse 9. You know, the most important thing that we can share with somebody is the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know,
Amen.
And giving them money will help for a minute, but they're just going to be hungry again, you know,
yes.
And, you know, Jesus Christ, you know, he came to be bread, you know, and he is the bread of life, and he that believeth on him shall never hunger, and man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out the mouth of God. And this is what the Lord has gifted us ultimately to give to people. You know, this is what is the most important thing. And in verse 1 here in Acts 3, we read, "Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fasting his eyes upon him with John, said, Look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle and bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God."
Are you guys still with me?
I'm absorbing all of this. This is fantastic. I really am, you know, this is a real blessing to me to hear you guys speak on this, because I just needed some reinforcement.
Well, you know, Christ is the greatest example, and I know a lot of people say, "Oh, Larry now is preaching a social gospel." Well, I don't care what accusations you lay against me, and by the way, they have been laid against me when I've shared this, but, you know, let's, you know, look at Christ's example. You know, he did not go out, and oftentimes, what was the first thing he did? He fed the people. In fact, mm-hmm. he said, have any bread here? And they said, yeah, there's a young lad here that has, you know, two, however many loaves and two fishes. He says, tell the people to sit down. Before he ministered spiritually to them, he ministered their physical needs. How can you?
Yes. Wow, that is such a good point.
How can you get somebody to listen to you talk about the gospel or preach the gospel if they're hungry and thirsty and they're just needing a little bit of hope for the day, how they're going to get through the day? Now, I know I talked with Brother Mark about this, and Mark, I totally respect what you're going through. I've seen the pictures in L.A. of all the homeless people out there, and a lot of them, I know they are drug addicts. I know they're prostitutes. I know they're living on the streets. I know. But you know what? I also know that what sends a person to that point of desperation, what sends a person to the point where they're even willing to take their life and commit suicide? It's a spiritual problem.
Right.
These drug addicts, these prostitutes, these alcoholics, they don't have an alcoholic problem. They don't have a drug problem. They have a spiritual problem. And if we can't minister to these people, we might as well hang it up.
That's right.
Anyway, I agree. It is a spiritual problem. Alcoholics Anonymous can't solve it with their 12 steps. And they have a vague concept of God anyway. My higher power, as I understand them to be, I used to go to AA meetings. I was homeless on the streets in Wilmington like 25, 30 years ago, and I wound up in a homeless tent camp constructed of old, thrown-off construction material across the street from the Beacon Light Mission in Wilmington, California, next city over where I was the other day. I have a new friend of the last couple of years. His name is Mike. I was telling Brother Carl about this the other day. And we went to an old-time pizza house in Wilmington yesterday, and I bought us lunch. We got a big old family-sized pizza with Canadian bacon, mushrooms, tomatoes, and green peppers, and we chowed down. Man, it was good.
Yeah.
I do this from time to time, like at least once a month with my friend. He's he's living in it. He has a car. He's living in his car, and he's trying to get a real estate thing going. And so I encourage him. And the other day, when I came back to the table with the pizza, I said, "Do you mind if I say a blessing over the food?" And he said, "I think that would be a good idea." So I just praise God for that. That's awesome.
You know, it's amazing. Today we were out driving around, Rosette, Mark, and I, and we saw a guy. And this happens a lot, especially, often down here in this area. There's a lot of people that are without jobs. There are a lot of people that are financially hurting, and people
yep.
talk about how good the economy is. Open your eyes. But anyway, there's
yeah.
a fellow, and he was probably in his, I would say his early 60s, maybe late 50s.
Uh-huh.
And he had a sign, "I'm homeless. Is there any way you could help me? Anything, you know the signs." So I
yeah.
drove up to him and I said, I want to give this to you. And he said, "You know what?" He said, "Will you give me a minute?" Because he was sitting on the ground and you could tell he was in unbelievable pain. I could relate to his pain. You could tell
mm-hmm.
he was in unbelievable pain. He could not hardly get up. He finally got over to my truck and he said, "What a blessing. I can't believe you stopped. I can't believe you actually stopped." Well, I'm just sharing that. People think that homeless people, I've heard all these stories. Well, if you're trolling in New York, you can make $50,000, $60,000 a year. I don't need to hear those stories, okay? That has not been my experience. I can open my eyes. I could see this guy was wearing sweatpants that looked like he'd been wearing for 2 weeks, okay?
Mm-hmm.
He was disheveled. He was worn to a frazzle. You could tell he'd been out on the streets,
yeah.
and he was hungry. And so, I can't believe that people cannot see this, like their eyes. It's like those priests that walked by the Samaritan. And
yeah.
went on the other side of the road. I mean, it's like they're just blind to what's going on. I don't know. And then if you listen to these same folks that talk about how much they've been scammed and how much they've been taken advantage of and so on, and then they want to talk about, how they just went to a Southern gospel music concert and the tickets were, $60 a piece or whatever. I mean, It's so hypocritical. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, that's right. Yeah. I wanted to ask Brother Ed, so what happened with this lady? Would she return the breakfast for the money every time and do whatever, I guess?
Well, with her, she was out there all the time. And
uh-oh.
She would walk. I mean, she would mumble under her breath, and she would use the money for the lotto. And what she did with me was, yes, she took the breakfast back and got her money back.
Oh, got your money back, you mean?
Yeah.
Well, the money
yeah,
I
got my
her.
Money back.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what happened.
Yeah, yeah. And then she would do the lotto with it?
Yes. And
oh, wow.
I can give you example after example where somebody would buy someone groceries and they would walk in and take the groceries back to
oh.
get the money.
Yeah, it's a dilemma, that's for sure. When you were dialing back in, Brother Ed, I was telling Brother Larry my story about here in Long Beach, that in my early years here in Long Beach, I used to get taken advantage of, and I wised up, and now my feeling is exactly that. I'm not going to give you money, but I'll buy you a hamburger, fries, and a Coke, And
yeah.
so, yeah, that's my feeling on that, yeah.
Well, I'll tell you, it's really interesting. One time I was approached by a woman, and I was going into the supermarket. She said, "Can you buy me some food?" I said, "Sure, get a cart, let's go." And
yeah.
and so... Now, her idea was was different than mine, but I said, whatever, okay, just fill it up, whatever you want to get. And, you know, it was really interesting. On the way out, and I don't know what happened, but she wanted the receipt. And I said, no, I'm not going to give the receipt to you, okay? So I walked away to my car, and I walked about, I'm thinking, 50 feet. And she was there with her cart. She was going to get picked up by a friend, she said, or I can't remember how it went.
Right.
I turned around, and she was gone.
Oh,
I
mean,
she was nowhere to be found. And I thought, did she turn around and go back in? So I went back in to see if she was back at the counter, and she wasn't. And it was like, you know how the Bible talks about sometimes you are host to angels without knowing it?
There you go.
I don't know what that was, but it was the very – I mean, it was really – I don't know. I have no idea.
Yeah.
Okay.
I just pulled that verse up while you were talking, Brother Ed, and it's because that's immediately what I started thinking about. And it's Hebrews 13:2. Be not forgetful. Hebrews 13:2. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares.
There it is.
And I'll tell you, you should have seen it. It was like a comedy routine in the supermarket. So I'm pretty frugal, let me just tell you. I don't buy any meat unless it's on sale. So the corn was on sale. So I'm trying to trot her over to the corn. I say, hey, listen, look at this. You know, a dozen corn for $2. Hey, this is great. And no, she's going, no, let's go over by the steaks. And so she's picking out these expensive steaks. I said, well, the chicken looks like it's pretty good. It's like, it was a comedy, I'm telling you. My flesh was in full armament against my spirit in that one. But, you know, I just kind of backed off, and I said, you know, I'm just going to put it in God's hands because I was really, anyway, I was trying to shop the way I shop, and it's not the way she was shopping. But it was very strange when I walked out. I turned around. I walked about 50 feet. I turned around, and she was gone. Nowhere to be found anywhere. And there's no way she could have loaded all those groceries in any car that fast.
Wow, Ed, I think I might have shared this with you before. I don't know if everybody else has heard this story. But, you know, sometimes I think, God does have his messengers for different reasons. And Mark, this was shortly after Mark started having all of his problems with his mind. And I was really going through a lot, and I was really discouraged. I was downhearted. And one of the things that I found that would calm Mark down was if I would take him for a ride, you know, just take him for a ride. And so he was in the van, and we were trucking up the highway, and there was a hitchhiker there, an old guy, I would say in his 60s, and he looked like a homeless guy, and I thought he was probably homeless. And he was hitchhiking, and I told him, man, this old guy needs a ride. Let's stop and let's pick him up. And of course, Mark was not really that together at the time. And so Mark was sitting in the front seat with me, and the guy got in the back seat. And it was the strangest thing. As soon as he got in the car and everything, of course, I tried to engage people, and I said, you know, how's your day going and so on. And he said, No, that's not the reason why you picked me up. And I said, what are you talking about? He said, don't ask me how my day's going. I want to ask both of you, how are your days going? And I said, well, you know, I really don't want to get into it right now, but Mark's been having some challenges and so on. He said, listen, sir, I want to encourage you, you know, you hang in there with your, this is your son, isn't it? I said, yeah, it's my son. He goes, you stay with your son. This is not going to be easy, what you're going through. But I want to tell you, be encouraged. The Lord bless you. And he said, now you can let me off out now. And I go, wait a minute. You've only been in the car for, he goes, no, I've done everything I need to do. Just pull over at the next stop up here and just let me out. And he said, he looks over to Mark and he says, you just stand by your dad here, and your dad's going to stand by you. Everything's going to work out. He gets out of the truck, and I look back, and he is gone. And I said to Mark, where did he go? And he goes, he's gone, Dad. He's gone. So I had the same thing happen, the very same thing. And a lot of people said, well, it was probably a lot of people said, oh, Larry, you saw a devil, or it was demonic, or all this stuff. All I know is that the guy, it was what I needed right then.
Right, sure, Brother Larry. I was going to say, I bet that was just what you needed right then, was, you know, for that to happen. The good Lord knew exactly what you needed, didn't he?
Yeah.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Call it the divine intervention episode of Amazing Stories or something.
You know, my wife had a very similar thing happen to her when we were going through this with Mark. Mark would get so disoriented that he would leave, and, you know, we couldn't find him. And this is when it was the hardest time, because when he would leave, he it was like somebody with Alzheimer's. So we had to keep monitor on him about 24 hours a day. Well, this one time he left, and we had planning, it was around this time of the year, March the 8th was his birthday, and we were planning a birthday party for him, and had already invited his friends over. They knew what Mark was going through. And he left on the 6th, and we could not find him. We had the police out looking for him. Everybody was looking for him. We thought we were going to lose him. And Rosette said, I've got to get away just for a few minutes. She says, I'm going to go up to the library. I'm going to go crazy. And so she went up to the library. Well, while she was up at the library, one of the friends that we'd invited over, her name was Mindy. Mark had known her for years. And she was invited to the birthday party. And we called her and said, look, we've postponed the birthday party because Mark is gone. We can't find him. We've got the police out looking for him. We've been out looking for him. And, you know, just keep us in your prayers, whatever. Well, while Rosette was at the library, Mindy pulls up in the driveway with Mark in her car.
Wow.
And I said, Mark, I said, Mindy, what's going on? And Mindy's crying. I mean, the tears are just streaming down her face. And she said, Larry, she lived clear in Olathe, Kansas, which was 75 miles away from our house, okay? And she told me that she that morning got up, she had Mark on her mind all morning. And she said she was going to go to the laundromat. And so she usually goes to the laundromat in Olathe. She took her friend to the laundromat, and the laundromat was clear full of people. And she says, we always go to that laundromat. But my friend says, let's go to the laundromat in Kansas City, Kansas, which she said is about 17 miles away. She says, oh, we don't want to go. She says, yeah, let's just go over there. We're not doing anything anyway, and we're not going to Mark's birthday party, so let's just go over there. They went over to the they were headed to the laundromat, and she said, we saw this man walking down the interstate. And she said, I said to my friend, that looks like Mark. And the gal says, oh, you just have Mark on your mind. That's not Mark. How would Mark get all the way over here? And she says, I'm telling you, that looks like Mark. She said, I'm going to circle around the exit. I'm going to go back down that interstate over there and just see if that would happen to be Mark. And she said, by the time we got around, Mark was going down the exit of the highway. So she said, I go down the exit, I pull over to the exit to the side, I roll down my window, and she said, Mark. He goes, hi, Mindy. And he gets in her car, and she brings him to us.
That is how incredible. Did he get that far?
I have no idea. I have no idea. I mean, I could tell you stories. I mean, he got clear out to Bates County one time, 60 miles away. And the Bates County Sheriff called us up and said, do you have a son, Mark Phillips? He just about got shot from a farmer in the yard out here. And I can tell you stories, but the interesting thing about the time Mindy pulls up, Rosette comes back, pulls in the driveway, and she sees Mark. And you know what she told me? When she got to the library, she said there was someone that held the door open for her that looked exactly like Mark.
Wow.
And she thought, she goes, I looked at him and I said, how are you doing? And he said, I'm doing fine. Here, let me hold the door open for you. And she said he held the door open for her. She turned around and he was gone.
Wow. Whoa. That's interesting.
So, these things are real. But anyway, that, you know, that just totally shows me how there are so many things we don't understand in our world, but we know that God is sovereign over it all.
We serve a supernatural God. Yeah.
That's right.
He made the laws of this realm, and he can suspend them at any time. I have no problem believing that God can control things at the molecular level, to use a pseudoscientific term. I have no problem believing that God can control things at the molecular or at the quantum realm, whatever you want to call it. He made this realm, and he made the laws that govern the operations in this realm, and I have no problem believing that he can suspend them or modify their operation at any point in time that he chooses to do so in his sovereign will. Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you, my modus operandi, you know, I would have never have believed it had it not happened to me. That's all I can say. I was pretty much unbelieving of any kind of special revelation. I was pretty orthodox in my thinking, and but you know what? When you have these experiences happen to you, it pretty well obliterates all of the preconceived thoughts you had of God before.
Oh yeah. Oh yes. Big time. Yep. Totally adjust. Totally reorient your frame of reference. That's right. You can't. Life is not the same afterward.
Well, I hope I didn't get too far off track, but no, I think this is an
excellent on track. This is I find this a real blessing, and I am very much edified, and it's the kind of thing that that I really needed to hear, I think.
Yes.
Well, no, I think that I would just exhort anyone that's listening, the next time you see someone that has a sign, and you know, the best thing is you don't really even have to engage these people. What my experience has been, all you have to do is stop, and you want to make sure you give them the money first. Okay.
Right.
And the moment you give them the money, my experience has been they are so grateful.
Yeah.
And they are so taken back that they're wanting to engage at that point. They're wanting to engage in anything you want to talk about. You've already shown your love. They want to show some love back, you know, and so. And so that's when I usually hand them a Bible, and I make sure it's a new Bible. I don't give them a used Bible. And you, by the way, you can buy a nice King James Version Bible for $1. I mean, it's small print, but it's bound up in a package. It looks nice. It's brand new. And I usually give the gals a white Bible, and I give the guys a black Bible. And then I usually give them a copy of my poems for edification. And a lot of them will say, oh, I love poetry. You know, I'm going to, you know, I'll read the Bible, but I want to read this first. I say, that's fine, you know. But also what I do is, and a lot of people say, you're nuts, okay. But I put my phone number in the front of the book. So if they want to call me, they can call me. And I have had some people call and want to engage. So, I've even had people, you know, that have asked me, well, are you Pentecostal or what are you, you know? And a lot of them will say, what denomination are you? And I go, I'm not a member of a denomination. They go, where do you go to church? And I go, we worship in our home. They go, really? There are people that do that? And that gives us an opening to engage, you know.
That creates a dialogue, an opening for dialogue. That's right. That's right. That's ministry. The ministry of what you're doing, Brother Larry. That is a ministry ordained of God, I do believe.
Well, you know, I tell people, I get about 30 requests a day for some kind of financial assistance, okay, over the internet. And I usually, what I will usually do is I will tell people, look, you know, we don't have the finances. We work in our local area to try to reach out to the poor and the fatherless here in our local area. But I will keep you in our prayers. And, you know, now there, I have had some exceptions. I had a request. And I knew it was a genuine request because there was a difficult time in a particular part of Pakistan with a lot of persecution going on. And I made sure that the gift that we gave was able to get the Bibles in the Pakistani language, okay? And after that, after they received the, those Bibles, I got some really good relationship building time with that. And so, you know, I tell people on the instant messengers that, the, you know, we get, I probably get 300 instant messages a day from people. And you know what, there's a lot, people say, oh, all those people that are asking for money, they're all scammers. You don't even know if they're real or not. You know what? There are a lot of needy people in Pakistan. There's a lot of needy people in Uganda. There's a lot of needy people in India. And these people, a lot of them are being persecuted for their faith. I mean, we here in the United States are so spoiled. I'm talking to myself. We don't have any worries. These people are concerned as to whether their children are going to get killed in the middle of the night or not, okay? And the only reason I share this is that, you know, we need to start assessing, you know, who we are in Christ and what our relationship is with all of those other people out there that are professing to know Christ and are crying out for our just our fellowship. I cannot even respond to all the people that are crying out for me. I feel, you know, and I know that only God can cause me to respond in a way, you know, and I tried to share it with another brother, some of these, and he didn't want to get involved in it. He didn't want to be scammed. He didn't want to be, you know, he didn't have the time, you know. But I need your all's prayers because I have felt, you know, that I am unable to respond to some of these folks that I think are genuinely reaching out just to have fellowship with like believers.
Yes.
And I know that it puts people vulnerable. It makes people vulnerable. I mean, if a person's not willing to be vulnerable, you know, what is Christianity? What is it if a person's not willing to be vulnerable? If a person's not willing to be hurt once in a while, what good is their faith?
Yes, that's right.
Paul was persecuted unmercifully. He was stoned with, he was beat with rods. He was led over the basket. He was, you know, and I'm saying, you know what? One of these days, we may be those people that are being stoned and beaten with rods, and we might look back and say, well, all those people were crying out to me, and now I'm the one that's doing the crying out, okay?
Exactly.
Yep.
Well, I'll just close with Psalm 107, 1 through 8. And I'll just tell all you, I'll just tell all you brothers, that, you know, on behalf of me and Babs, we love all you guys, and it sure was blessed to be with you tonight. So Psalm 107, verses 1 through 8, and Authorized King James Version only. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy, and hath gathered them out of the land, from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses. And he led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city of habitation. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men.
Amen.
Well, that's beautiful. That's beautiful. And, you know, notice the next verse. You stopped one verse too soon.
Yeah, looking at that, yeah, verse 9. For he satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. I was just going to say that, Brother Larry. You got it. That's awesome.
Well, I appreciate you all listening to me froth off at the mouth and to, you know, express my sentiments on this area. And you've been very kind and long-suffering. And does anyone else have any? Ed, do you have any other final thoughts before we conclude tonight?
No, I think this is where the rubber meets the road. We're commanded to love. Love is an action. It is charity, and that is the manifestation of our faith. So
this is
really where the rubber meets the road.
Yeah, I agree with you. I want to thank Andrew Brown, Ivor Thomas, Sam Rose Davis, Howard Jett, Ashley Kennedy. Sonny Babu, James Harrison, Glenda Busby Trotter, Rustico Danan from the Philippines, who is ministering and been a great asset to the people of the Philippines. I appreciate your ministry. Rustico is very involved in helping people get work over there that are unemployed. And he's had a tremendous ministry. Scott Calvert, Ivor Thomas, and all of the rest, you know who you are. Oscar Graves, Alan Taylor. And I appreciate that Ed brought this subject to the fore tonight. And I pray that God would some way open a door that I can share with someone out there that has time. You know, time is one thing. I enjoy reaching out to people, but I still have a family and my responsibility to my family. But there's anyone out there that would like to engage with some of these people that are instant messaging me, then I can pass along a way where they could reach you, that you could contact a few of these folks that are hurting. I would appreciate that. And with that, I'm going to say good night. Brother Mark, do you have any final comments before we close things out?
This has been really wonderful tonight. This is a very important subject that we're dealing with tonight, and I was just engaging in this very activity the other day. I called Brother Carl when I got home, like an hour later, and I told him the whole episode, and he has pledged to pray for my friend Mike, and so I would like to ask everyone listening to please pray for my friend Mike. He's homeless and he lives in his car and he's trying to get his life back together. And when we were getting ready to have pizza in the Pizza House in Wilmington, I asked him, "Do you mind if I say a blessing over this food?" And he said, "That's a good idea." And so that's a start right there into spiritual discussion. And so that's wonderful. My friend's name is Michael Moranti, and I would ask everybody listening to please pray for him, that the Lord would use me to speak the truth to him. And I've known him maybe 6 to 8 months now, not long. I met him at a Starbucks here in Long Beach through another friend that I became aware of recently in the last year or so, and I kind of work with him too, and so. But his name is Jim. But this what I perceive to be going on with my friend Michael right now is something very interesting. So my friend's name is Michael Moranti, and I would ask everyone to pray for him that God would bring him along, hopefully into the kingdom, and use me as a tool in the hand of Jehovah to do so, and to continue enabling me to take him to lunch, you know, once or twice a month, which is what we've been doing for the past few months. And I commit your this one, and thank you, and God bless you.
Well, thank you, Mark, and we will remember your friend, Mike Moranti. And I want to thank everyone that's joined us tonight. And may the good Lord be with us and strengthen us and give us discernment in all of the things that we do and say for God's grace alone. And with that, I'm going to say good night and God bless.
Love you, brother.
Love you, too.
Peace if possible and truth at all costs.
Amen, Brother Carl.